You're listening to Amud V'Chazarot and Eli Zivrik Maseches Erevin Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. I'm very proud to announce the Daf Sivan for Ayin Vav. Because when listening to the recording, the first time there's an Ayin Vav, so it's from Shabbos. So the idea was suggested by Rav Yehoshua Eisenberg, dear brother, who's he's the one who suggested the Sivan for Ayin Vav. Very good, he said, an IV. First of all, because I involves that IV, so this is the sound. But also, if you look at it, it looks like an I and the letter I and the letter V. So that is the simon for I involved, Rabbi Eisenberg original. Yeah, that was cool. It's happened a few times, or at least twice, where Rabbi Goldhart said this. The lucky winner of the suggestion was my brother. Okay. So we're going to start from Ayin Hey Amud Beis at the bottom, three lines at the bottom. Omer of Nachman, Omer Rav Baravua, Omer Rav. Beis Chatzeros, V'gimel Batim B'neihen. So if you have three Chatzeros and two courtyards, and three houses in between them. So what's the setup? So, there's a cheap picture over here. You can see, but basically, Rashi elaborate over here. Gimel batim b'neihen. Bayis ze pasuch lechotzer zu. So this house is opened up to this chotzer. Vizel zu, and this is open up to this house. Ubayis emtsai pasuch l'shnei habatim. So basically, you have three houses in a line. Right, house A, B, and C, let's say, and A and C are each connected to a chatzer, and those chatzeros also have other houses that are open into it. So that is the setup. So ze ba derech ze v'nosein ruvo b'zeh, v'ze ba derech ze v'nosein ruvo b'zeh. So somebody from the chatzer can come in through house A. We call them A, B, and C. B is the Amtsai. So he can come in through house A. Someone from Chatzer A, Chatzer 1, let's call it. Right? So you have Chatzer 1 and Chatzer 2. So somebody in Chatzer 1 can go into house A, there's house A, B, and C, and through house A and put the Erev in the middle house. And what he did, basically, he made house A into a base shar. It's a gatehouse. And we know a gatehouse does not, you can't put an Erev in a gatehouse, and also doesn't require an Erev. So you put it through there. And you have somebody from Chatzer 2 do the same thing through house C. And he puts the Erev in the inside house B as well. Ze nase beis shar leze, v'ze nase beis shar leze. So A became a gatehouse, and A and C both became a beis shar, a gatehouse to the one. And Amtsai havala le beis shemanichan bo erev. And the middle one is the one that has the Erev place in it, and certainly tenes apas. And you don't need that. We learned already, I think, back on Mem Test, maybe, that we didn't. You don't even need to put bread in that one, right? If the one that's doing that's housing the bread, you don't need to put bread. Doesn't have to contribute to the bread because it's the house, right? We mentioned the whole concept is based on whether you're considered a resident there, right? So everybody else has bread representing them, and it's saying a resident there. But the person who lives in this house, he doesn't need to symbolically say, "Oh, I'm a resident here." He's like, "That's my bed, or that's my chair. Like this is where I live." So now what we have is that neither the owners of house A, B, or C require an Erev, a contribution to the Erev. Because A and C have been considered batei shar, and B is the one that's housing the Erev, and therefore they're combined without either A, B, or C contributing. Okay.
So who does contribute?
The people from the chutzner, like the outside chutzner. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So other people, right?
You have residents.
Okay, these are right. Here. Okay.
Yeah.
They're using these three of them.
Yeah. So for the members of Chatzer 1 and Chatzer 2, not including the residents of House A and House C. Okay. A, B, and C is easier than moving the Shimon's and Levi's for now. So we're talking about houses, you know. Fine. Next. Okay. So now, Bodik Lahu Rachava Lerabonan. Rachava wanted to do a little bedikas chametz early. He wanted to test out the Rabbanan. So he threw out a shaila that seems he knew the answer to. Right? Rashi says, Menaseh im yichachma lahashiv. He wants to see, he's trying to test out if they're smart enough to answer. So let's see what he says. Beis chatzeros ubeis batim b'nehem. You have two chatzeros and two houses in between them. So it sounds like chatzer one, house A, house B, Chatzer 2. Zeh ba derech zeh v'nasane ruvo b'zeh. V'zeh ba derech zeh v'nasane ruvo b'zeh. So, somebody from Chatzer 1 goes through house A. Meaning, it's similar to what we just had of house A, B, and C. Just you cut out the house B. So now someone from Chatzer 1 goes through house A and puts the... Well, when I say we cut out C, when I say we cut out B, we're going to call them A and B because there's only two in this case. So don't fully apply to the last case. But so you have Chatzer 1, house A, house B, and Chatzer 2. So someone from Chatzer 1 drops off the Erev. He goes through house A and places it in house B. And you have the exact reverse happening as also. Someone from Chatzer 2 goes through house B and places it in house A.
Can the same house coexist as co-function as the gatehouse for one purpose?
Exactly.
But as a bias for the other.
Exactly. Yes. So that's the question. Kano Erev Olo. Do they acquire an erev or not? Mi mashvinan luhu lagabe dahai bias lagabe dahai beishar lagabe dahai beishar lagabe dahai bias. Do we say that we consider? Okay, I'll just break it up just so it's easy to read. Mi mashvinan luhu lagabe dahai. Do we consider it that regarding this bias, it's considered a house lagabe dahai, and regarding the other and. Relative to the other one, it's considered beishar, and vice versa. Lugabe dahai, and regarding this one, when you look from the perspective of this house, is a beishar, lugabe dahai bias, and it's regarded this as a house. So, do we consider these simultaneously? Can they co-function? Can the term as a bias and a shar and a beishar at the same time? Amrule, he said to them, Shnehen lo kanu eruv. No, they do not. Mono shach. Either way, however you want to have it, doesn't make sense. E beishar meshavaslei. So if it's considered a beishar, right? So I mean, so what? Let's consider them both being bate shar. So I know since it's a beishar, achsadru marpeses eino eruv. We said that somebody places his eruv in a beishar. A gatehouse, or an achsadra, or that was this is the porch, or the whatever, the porticos, or the marpeses, however we translate these things, these porches and balconies. Ain't no eruv. It's not considered an eruv. So if you're considering these bateshar, then they can't have an eruv. And e bias meshavis lay, and if it's considered a house, kamatata the bias de la ma'ariv lay. So you're okay. So they're carrying in houses that weren't part of the Erev. Because these two chatzeros, chatzer 1 and chatzer 2, they did have an Erev, an internal Erev. And we wonder if we can now join them. But the houses, this house was not included. So it seems to understand that we can't have them simultaneously say, no, it's a bias regarding this and a base shire regarding that. We're not allowing us to say that. So now the Gemara is wondering why not. Well, my shnami to Rava, why is this any different from that which Rava said? Dama Rava said, we learned this earlier. way earlier. Shabbos Lamadalet. That was quite a while ago. The context over there in Shabbos Lamadalet, we were talking about the halachos of Bein Hashmashos. So right. What's able to be done during Bein Hashmashos? During Bein Hashmashos, typically we consider that like Shabbos. We said so. Maybe hatmana, and we also mentioned setting up an eruv. And then we're discussing over there what eruv. So what this Rava says? Amru lo shnayim. He said to him shnayim, say va'ariv aleinu. So they tell two people to go make an erev. Le'echad erev alav mivod yom. One of them made the erev when it was still daytime. Ule'echad erev alav bein hashmashos. And to the other one, the other one didn't get the erev done until bein hashmashos. Okay. So now, zeshe erev alav mivod yom nechal eruv bein hashmashos. The guy who did it when it was still daytime, before bein hashmashos, so his erev was eaten. Right, I think maybe Rashi says over there by a dog or whatever it was. It was eaten. Went now in Bein Hashmashos. V'zeh she'er v'lo Bein Hashmashos nechal eruv mishetechshach. And the guy who said at the Bein Hashmashos, the eruv wasn't eaten until after it was dark. Now of course, just backtracking. Simple case. Leave Bein Hashmashos out of it for a moment. An eruv gets made during the day, and then it gets dark, and the eruv is eaten. The air is in effect, right?
As long as it's present,
it's yeah, right. So here we have even more than this. So even if we could be lenient during Bein Hashmashos, it's going to be a little bit problematic over here because we're having contradictory because right. We have two right. So because if I would say okay, maybe. Like during the day, but over here we have so one guy set up the eruv during the day, and now during Bein Hashmashos, not after it got dark, during Bein Hashmashos, during this twilight period, the Suffolk period, it was eaten. So we would like to consider Bein Hashmashos night over here to help the guy out. However, someone was also sent, and he didn't even set up the eruv until Bein Hashmashos. But that lasted until night. So we want to assume for the second guy that it's day. So when if you ask me, right, I'm the Rav Paskening, and both of them were sent. You ask me the Shiloh. So Rabbi, can we consider Bein Hashmashos day or night? Day, night. You're like, what are you going to do? So I would say, okay, I mean, of course, you got to pick one. Right? Can't dance both the weddings. So Gemara says, Shneim Kanu Erev. They both take effect. So, if this is true, that which Rava said, then why can't we also consider House A to play for the base Shar team sometimes and for the bias team the other times? Why can't we simultaneously say, well, yeah, relative to this, so this is the base Shar and this is and the other one's the bias and then vice versa, the other side. Isn't it the same concept? It's a target disaster. Why not? So the Gemara. Yeah.
The question then is it analogous to compare Seis, Bein Hashmashos? The indeterminate status of Bein Hashmashos, is that comparable to saying that a house can occupy two functions at the same time? I understand the concept. You're basically saying that Seis is functioning as both yes and not Shabbos at the same time.
Right.
So I get that in that comparison. The question is it comparable? But.
Well, look at my shoes. Hachiyashta. Oh no, right? But we'll see why. It's probably not the reason that you were that if you are on any track, you're thinking some svara. It doesn't. It's probably not what it's going to say here. Because it's going to be more like a practical reason, like more of a pragmatic reason. Why not? Hachiyashta. This is right. No. Hasam safik yimama safik lelia lo minkara milsa. Over there. If there's Suffolk day and Suffolk night, it's not going to be recognizable. Like you don't look at it and see this as a stira. Meaning, even though yes, technically we're having like two different like defining terms to Bein Hashmashos, but it's not such like a noticeable one. Aval hacha idi lagabe dahai bias Ilagabi dalhai beishar, lagabi dalhai nami beishar. Right, or like this is a very discernible point that you see them in front of you. You see that there's the house, and we're considering it as a chutzar and a beishar. So that's like a very noticeable, recognizable contradiction. Rashi over here says, We learned this concept earlier, not so long ago, in Zamachas and Beis, that we don't want the words of the Rabbanon to be like a mocking point. But these houses are standing there in front of us. If we say, no, this is a base shar, but it's also a bayis. And it's interesting over here, Rashi adds, Lerados. Do you have minin or do you have stukin? Yeah.
Minin.
Yeah, so some versions say minin, some say stukin, which is interesting. Two different curses in Rashi. So there's minin and stukin, but we don't want people, heretics, to mock it. So, but something like Beinish Moshos, it's not something that's standing there in front of us, it's not as recognizable, and therefore won't create as much of a commotion and cause people to ridicule the halachos of the Rabbanon. Hadron Allah Hadar. Mazel Tov on finishing it.
It is possible that both theories are valid. No. Since the first part of the twilight period is day, the second part is night. That would be the exact time in the suggestion that is. The suggestion that would be part of the ritual, if this is the correct reading of the ritual, that more or less that it was together, that the achilo took place in both the cases during the ritual. One was the first half of the Mishmash, so the other is the second half of the Mishmash. So, something to the effect where the two did not have, well, they didn't have at the same time. But I thought
we don't have the details, but I think the assumption can be that it was at the same time.
The only way to make that sound is to
work on your own, but don't keep it to yourself. When you've got it, post it. Let us know. Okay. Fine. The seventh parak Chalom. Very exciting. We are making our way. We're almost at the 3/4 point of the Masech, the 75%, which is quite amazing. Masech Sarivan. It's been a ride. Okay. Chalon Shebein Beis Chatzeros. So if you have a window between two Chatzeros, right, we had a discussion about this in the Gemara briefly in the previous blot. So Arba al Arba Besoch Asara. So if the window is at least 4x4 tfachim within 10 tfachim of the ground, Ma'arvin Shnayim, these two chatzeros, right? Part of the ability for two chatzeros to make an eruv together is they need to be able to access each other. Right? If you have a chatzer, two chatzeros that are completely closed off from each other, so they're not considered connected. So even if they share, if they put the bread, it doesn't work. Now, if they have a Pesach between them, that's great. What if it's only a window? Well, if the window is 4x4 tefachim, within 10 tefachim of the ground, they can make an eruv together. Vim ratzu ma'arvin echad. And they can also... Ma'arvin shnayim, vim ratzu ma'arvin echad. So they can either make two separate eruvin, say, we're chatzar A, we're chatzar B, and you know we have separate eruvin and each in the independent chatzar, meaning they're not open enough to each other that we have to say okay, you guys have to make you're connected or anything like that. But they are connected enough that we can say that they could join together to make an Eruv. So we say, you know, like the wall between you guys separates you, so you're not considered one big chatzer, so you don't have to make an Eruv together. But this window is substantial enough, a substantial enough connection that if you want to make a chatzer with an Eruv chatzeros with these two chatzeros together, you can do so. However, pachos midalad al dalad, but less than 4x4, olim ala miyud, or if it's higher than 10 tvachim, ma'arvin shnayim ve'in ma'arvin echad, they are considered two separate chatzeros that are not even connected a little bit. Very nice that you have a cute little mini window so you can peek through and see what everyone else is doing, but that's not enough to make you connected that you can make an Eruv with each other. Okay. Le'ema tanan stama k'rib shimon ben gamliel. So we should say that this is a Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel shita, right? The Amar. Sorry, let me think where we said this. I think it was back on Chaf. Hey, maybe we quoted this. Let's see. Okay, it's on Tess and other places as well. So I don't know. We have to check it out. So it's somewhere around there. It might have been Chaf as well. I think it was. Damar kol pachas me'arba kilavu dami. Anything that's less than 4 is like lavud, right? Meaning, typically, what's the standard mainstream shita about lavud? What's the size? Under 3, right? Under 3 tvachim is lavud. However, Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a larger standard. He says no, even under 4 tvachim is. So it looks like this mishnah is the mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why does he require the minimum size the minimum size for the chalon to be significant? Why does he say 4 tvachim? Because he holds under 4 tvachim, it's considered as if it's not there, right? What, the whole love of it is that it's there's no breach; it patches up the breach. So it must be that this mishnah is Rav Shimon Gamliel, because if it was the Rabbanan, they would say no, it doesn't be 4x4; it can even be 3x3. Yeah. Okay, so no, afilu tevin tkerabanan. No, you can even say it's a rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei Rav Shimon Gamliel ela leinyan levudin. No, because we're talking about lavud, so that's where they argue with him. Avel leinyan pischa, but when we're talking about the size of a pesach, afilu rabbanan modu de iika dalad dalad chashiv. Even the rabbanan admit that if it's 4x4 tvachim, it's considered chashiv. It's significant. Vila lo chashiv, and if it's less than 4x4 tvachim, it's not considered chashiv, right? We have this also, right? For something to be considered a surface, for it to be a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, it needs to be 4x4 tvachim. We have this concept of 4x4 tvachim as chashiv, and we have, like, you know, we mentioned all the way back in Shabbos, like Daf Hey in Shabbos, like way long ago, that a hand, it has certain, even though a hand is smaller than a 4x4 tvachim. Remember, we spent the beginning of Shabbos talking about passing into a hand. We said, a hand, that's less than 4x4 tvachim. We said, yeah, but a hand has extra chashivas. There's something extra special about a hand that, despite being less than 4x4 tvachim, it's still chashiv because it's able to hold on to things. And so that's what we said there. But really, there's a standard of 4x4 tvachim is chashivas. So this is not a discussion about lavud. If it was like, oh, wait, the chalon is not considered like, that's a discussion of lavud, is it patched up or not? Then it'd be a machlokas from Shimon Gamliel and the Rabban, and then we say, oh, this mishnah from Shimon Ben Gamliel. And now the discussion here. The discussion is this considered a Pesach? A Pesach is chosh, in order to be chashiv enough to be a Pesach, you need 4x4 tvachim. Okay. Pachos midalad v'chule. Pshita. This is very, very obvious because of the Reisha. Right? The Reisha said, if you have a chalon that's arba arba, it counts as a connection between the two. And then it says, pachos midalad al dalid, but if it's less, yeah, we know. Right? And the same thing with the 10. Right? That's the obvious implication. Right? If it's 4x4 and 10 and within 10 of the ground, then it's a connection. And if it's less than 4x4 or higher than tvachim off the, 10 tvachim off the ground, it doesn't count. Yes, obviously. Shita. So keva damar dalad al dalid besocha soro. Memela ana yadana de pachos midalad lamala me yud lo. Right? Once I know, once it tells me that 4x4 within 10 Tefachim from the ground. So then Mamela on its own, I know that less than 4 or above 10 from the ground, low. So what's it trying to teach me? So Hokamashmalon, Taima, it's coming to teach me the reason. Dekule lemala miyud. That specifically, if it's completely above 10 tefachim. Aval miktzasu besoch yud. But if part of it is within 10 tefachim, but and obviously part of it above, ma'arvin shnayim. Vimrotzu ma'arvin echad. Basically that case in the Mishnah, right? So when the Mishnah said it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, what it really, based on the Seifa, right, because of the Seifa, so it means even if part of it is within 10 tefachim of the ground. And it makes sense, right? Let's think of the Svara. Why should it have to be within 10 tefachim of the ground in the first place? Why is that a requirement? Is it machitza? Well, yeah, we're trying to make a Pesach. So in order for it to be a Pesach,
so the window extends. Is that,
yeah? So we consider the window as this if it's super high up, so then it has like no like that's a doorway. So in order to be a doorway, it has to be within 10 tefachim of the ground, but and also a significant size. So yeah, even if you have to step up a little bit, you know, to get in, I have a
baby gates.
What?
You just walk over baby gates.
Yeah, right. I have a friend who has like, who's very, very interesting. Probably not listening, but he has a very interesting house. Like, or it's like his parents as they grew up, and like they I don't know, if one of them's not one of the parents, architect or whatever. But they have some of their doorways are like circles. It looks like a playhouse, and there's like one like the house looks like that, and they have a slide that like in the house that goes into the backyard. It's like very, very interesting. So they have like these circle doors, but yeah, something like that. You know, it's still considered a Pesach. Now, even if it's partially above 10 tefachim, but at least if it's 4x4 tefachim and it's within the 10 tefachim space a little bit, that's considered a doorway over here. That's what we learn. And Tanina, we also have this in a brisa. Tanina loha detan rabbanan kulo lamala meyud. If it's completely above 10, umiktaso besochasara, and part of it is within 10. So when we say kulo, it must not mean literally kulo, means mostly. Right? So if it's mostly within 10, but a little bit, above 10, and a little bit is within 10, so kulo yud, umiktaso besochasara, kulo besoch yud, or if it's all within 10, umiktaso lamala, but a little bit is above, again, so it means majority. Lamala miyud, marvin shnayim v'imratzu me'arvin echad. So this supports the same idea that we go by partial, but even if it's partially within the 10 tefachim, that it's considered as a pesach. So now the Gemara is just asking a question on this brisa. Hashta kula lamala miyud miktsasa besoch yud amart. In the first case, in the ratio of this brisa, you say that if it's mostly, I'm going to translate kulo as mostly over here, because that's what it really means. So if it's mostly above 10, then a little bit within 10, and you told me that it's ma'arv mishnayim, and if it's ratzim ma'arv and echad, that it counts as a doorway. So kulo besoch yud. So if it's fully. Within 10, and a little bit above, mebaye. Do you have to tell me that? Sorry, lamala meyud. Mebaye. Do you need to say that? So zu ve'ein sarach lomar zu katani. So the Bryce is teaching in this form that it sometimes uses of zu ve'ein sarach lomar zu, that it's at this case, and I don't even need to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. But I don't need to. I don't even need to tell you this case. So, because obviously, if more of it is in within the 10 tefachim, that's a much. You have a much better case. But so it's very obvious. Okay, we'll drop more. We're at 20. We have 40 seconds. So let's start this. Get ready for some more math circumference talk. All right, but we're experts by this point. We've already done our chazara from ninth grade or whatever it was. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chalon Agol Tzarech Shehei BeKevo Esrim VeArba. We know it has to be a 4x4 tefach window. That was square. But what if it looks like my friend's house and it's a round pesach? So needs the behekevo, the circumference, to be esrim varba 20 to esrim varba tefachim vishnayim umashu mehe. Esrim varba tefachim 24 tefachim ushnayim umashu mehen besoch yud. And you need at least two and a little bit of those tefachim to be within the 10 tefachim of the ground. That there's a certain amount that needs to be within the 10 tefachim of the ground. Shim yiravenu nimtza mashu b'soch yud. So that if you would square it off, it would come out that you have at least a mashu within the 10, if you would square it off. And now the Gemara is going to ask, michti, let's take a look and see if that math checks out, but we'll hold off for that for tomorrow.